Okay. Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. Verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which is purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Whereof I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Remember, this book is Ephesians. And what does Ephesians mean? It's permitted. So we're talking about a book that's written to the ones that have the permission by the Spirit of God to hear and to see what he's doing. This is an elite group of people that can truly hear what this book says. Not everyone can read this book and hear what it says. They can hear what their carnal understanding or what their cherubim in their mind devise these images to them, what they think they're seeing. But to truly hear what is in this book, it has to be by the Spirit of God, and not just by the Spirit of God, but it has to be by the timing of the Spirit of God. It can't be what I have heard in the Spirit in this book now, years ago, I could not hear. I read it and saw it with the same carnal mind that people in Passover and in Pentecost had, the same carnality. And I saw the same things they had because I was in the same place they were at. But when I grow, then I'm going to see that there's something beyond what I was seeing. And the whole thing boils down to this one thing. Until I grow up, I know nothing. As it said in Job 33, 13, 14, 15, somewhere in that area, in the first 2 days, they see nothing at all. In Isaiah 28, it says, whom shall I teach knowledge? Whom shall I teach doctrine? Those that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, the first two realms. In Matthew 24, it says, woe unto them that give suck in that day, and that are, or rather, get woe unto them that are with child, and those that give suck. Speaking of the first two realms again, Passover and Pentecost. We really don't hear anything there. We think we do, but that's part of the deception. We just think we do. It's an illusion in our minds, okay? We'll get to that maybe next week, about this illusion in our minds, but this morning. Well, no, next week, that's right, we'll be in Cleveland next weekend, so weekend after next. Okay? But back to this first verse of chapter 3. Paul says, "For this cause, I, Paul, am the prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm the bound prisoner of Jesus Christ." And look what the reason why he's bound. Paul knew what his purpose was. He said, "For this cause," or "for this purpose, I, Paul, am the bound prisoner of Jesus Christ." For who? For the Gentiles. For the ones that were outside the commonwealth of Israel. See? He knew it was not just for the people that was in Israel. He was for the ones outside of Israel. Remember the olive tree? The natural branch was cut off, and then the wild olive branch was grafted in. That's us. See? Paul knew why he was here. Each one of us, as we grow in maturity, will begin to know, as we hear the Spirit of God, as we are permitted by the Spirit of God, like it says in Hebrews, if God permit, we will go beyond these basic elementary principles, see? And when we get to this point, we begin to hear the Spirit, then we're going to see and we're going to know our purpose. And I couldn't tell you how many people over the years have asked me, "What's my purpose?" I'm not your God. Your Father will tell you what He has for you. All I'm telling you is, I know what my purpose is. And I didn't know my purpose when I began. But when I came out of Passover and Pentecost, I began hearing God, and He started showing me what He wanted me to do. Then I got the idea. Then I understood, hey, now I know what I'm here for. Okay? But He did it for the Gentiles. Okay? And He said, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace, dispensation, what do you think that word means? Literally, it means stewardship. A lot of people think it's a time element. Like they say, this is the dispensation of grace. This is the time of grace. No, it doesn't have anything to do with time. It's stewardship. It's management. See? And God gave Paul this management responsibility for what? Grace. He gave him the stewardship of the grace of God, which is given to him for us, right? So he was given the stewardship of grace. It was just like Jesus, when he came, he brought grace and mercy to us. But he passed it to Paul, and Paul passed it on down. See, most of the disciples really didn't get a hold of what Paul had. And we're to pass it on to other people. But see, Paul got a hold of something that the other apostles did not have. You read 2 Peter chapter 3, rather, about verse 15 through 20. And Peter says this about Paul. Our beloved brother Paul writes some things in his writings, in all his writings, some things hard to be understood. See? He received a revelation from Christ, from the Father, that other people didn't get. Now, I know everybody said, well, we're all the same. No, we're not all the same. We are all loved by the same amount by God. He loves us all. But He doesn't give us the same responsibility. Did Jesus have more responsibility than other people of His day? Does the apostles and prophets that He has today have more responsibility than other people? Sure, but that doesn't mean God loves them any more than anybody else. He has a purpose for them, and they're fulfilling their purpose. So we have to watch that we don't get caught up in these things and think that somebody's better than somebody else, because we're not. We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. But He said He was given the stewardship of grace. And that grace is a divine influence in our life, right? And a reflection, that our divine influence in our heart and a reflection out into our lifestyle. So Paul was given the stewardship of giving grace to people. And see, Paul always said, grace be multiplied to you. Grace, grace, grace. He never could give enough grace because that was what he knew he was called to do. Do you know why I believe, and I believe this with all my heart, and I'm saying this with a liberty now, I believe that Paul was such a steward of grace for one reason. Can anyone tell me what that reason is? Because he never gave grace to anyone until God got a hold of him. He had no grace. He had no tolerance for anybody outside of the way he thought in his Jewish thought process. He killed people, didn't he? Because they didn't think like him. And when God came along and showed him the grace of God through him killing his own brothers and sisters, you know, and God said, "You're forgiven." Now, that's got to be some kind of grace to you, huh? And so for that reason, Paul said, "I got to give grace to everybody. How can I not give grace to everybody? I deserve at least of anybody, but yet God gave it to me." And that's exactly the way I feel, that I've received more grace than anybody deserves, so how could I not have grace and mercy for everyone else? For their mistakes, for their faults, for their paratomas, for their sins, whatever you want to call it. Okay? Now, he was given the grace, the dispensation of grace, or the stewardship of grace of God, which is given to him, to us, okay? How that by revelation, the word how should be there, that the revelation he made known to me, the mystery, as I wrote before in few words. He said he wants him to make that mystery known to us. See? It wasn't given to be kept secret. It was given that it would be made known unto us. Now, unto us who? Well, wait a minute now. We got to go a little below the others. Made known to us to all eventually, yes. But first of all, it has to be known to the ones that are permitted. See, the Ephesians is who he's writing to. The ones who are permitted first. Yes, it's generally the Gentiles. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. See, he said that by revelation he made known to him the mystery as he had wrote to them before, saying that there's been another letter somewhere, isn't there? We may not know where it's at, but there was a letter written to him before. He said, "I wrote to you before, and I wrote it to you so that when you read this letter now, you will understand the revelation that I'd wrote to you before." Okay? And, you know, somebody might say, "Well, where's that other letter?" Well, I have an idea where it's at. The book says it was written in your hearts before the foundation of the world. So God wrote something in our hearts that when Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, that it was written with us already having something written in our hearts. How many of us have been able to hear things in this teaching that when we hear it, we've never heard it before, but we say, "I already knew that. I already knew it in my heart." Why? Because that's the other letter God wrote. See, that he wrote before. And this is Paul speaking, but God speaking through him. Okay? That's my opinion of it. which in other ages or generations was not made known to the sons of humanity, as it is now. When was it revealed? Now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Okay? In the Spirit realm. Not by the Spirit, but in the Spirit. Okay. This mystery is made known to us now in the Spirit. So people who read this book and try to say this book is literal, there's no spiritual things, you know, it's all just whatever he said, that's what it is, it's literal. He says this has to be done in spirit, doesn't it? The only way we're going to get the revelation of God is by getting into the Spirit of God, right? And if we don't believe it, we're surely not going to step into it, are we? The revelation of this thing is already written in our hearts. God just wants to confirm it. And he confirms it through two people, apostles and prophets. Okay? That the Gentiles, and here's the mystery. He comes plain out and tells you what the mystery is. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. There's the mystery. Everybody says, "What's the mystery?" I don't know what the mystery is. It's not a mystery because now it's revealed, and right there it is. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. See, the Jews always thought they were better than somebody else. Same thing going on today in the church realm. They think they're better than somebody else. And the Jewish nation was only a foreshadow of the church today. So we have to realize that that's the message. And see, I like this last part of it. And partakers of his promise, whose promise? Father's promise. And you know, this word promise is also covenant. And this new covenant says that he's going to do it for everybody, didn't it? So it's all. See, that's the new covenant. Partakers of his covenant in Christ through what? The good message. Now, the good message is not that Jesus died on a cross so that everybody that screws up can go to hell. That's not what the good message is. There's nothing good news about that. If Jesus died just for the few that went to church, he failed. See, he failed. He died for the sins of the entire world. He died that all would be reconciled back to himself. John 12 says, Jesus made this statement, if I be lifted up, and it says signifying the death of the cross, I will draw all humanity to me. He knew what he was doing. That's the good message. The bad message is what the church is teaching, which saying you have to do this and only a few of us are going to make up and everybody else is going to hell. They have no concept of what this message is all about. This is the good message. We're all going to make it, but it's going to be made every man in his own order. And that order is the one that the Father has set out, not our own choice. It's not our own purpose, it's his purpose. And in verse 7 he says, whereof I was made a servant. See, we hear this word minister and we want to think, oh, that's like the preachers, that's the important people. See, but a true, Jesus said, whoever's greatest among you will be your what? Servant. See, Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but I come to serve you. I come to be the servant. So, we have to realize these things, that Paul wasn't setting himself up in some place of ministry that I'm a great ministry. He said, I'm the servant. I was made a servant to the gift of grace. I was here to serve this grace to you. Do you hear what I'm saying? Paul says, I'm here to serve the grace to you. I'm here to give to you what God gave me. Does that make sense? That's what God's saying through here. The gift of the grace of God given to me by the what? By the effectual working of his power. And literally the word effectual shouldn't be here. It should read this way. The grace of God given to me by the working of his power. And the word power should be by the working of his miraculous powers. Everything was done by the working of his miraculous powers. It was God's choice. It wasn't anything else. That word effectual shouldn't even be in there. Okay? Verse 8, unto me, or to me, who am, and the words am less than shouldn't be here. Should read this way. To me, who is the least of all saints, there's humility, is the grace given. See, he said, this grace is given. I'm the least, and God gave it to me. Didn't he say the least would be the greatest, the first would be last, and the last would be first? Come on. And Paul's saying, I'm the least of all saints, and it's given to me that I should preach or announce the good news, and announce the good news Paul did. And Paul got his head cut off for it. And all he did was come and brought the what? The good news. Everybody's going to make it. You religious folk out there that think you're better than somebody out there in the gutter, you've got a surprise coming. You've got a big surprise coming. Because those are children of God. And when you walk over them and mistreat them and look down upon them, you're putting yourself in the same place as the Jewish nation stood when they looked at the Gentiles and thought they were defiled. And that's where Peter got the message, what I have cleansed, don't you call uncommon or unclean. It was talking about the Gentiles. Okay? That I should preach the good news among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Literally it says this, that I should preach the good news among the Gentiles that cannot be searched out, the riches of God which cannot be searched out. Okay, you know why they can't be searched out? Because these riches cannot be done by intellect. It's by revelation. That's why they're unsearchable. They can't be searched out. You can study the Word of God from daylight till dark, and if it's not God's choice to reveal it to you, you will never know it. If God permit, you'll see it. You'll hear it. Absolutely. The permitted ones get to see it and hear it. And to make all, cross out the word man, to make all see what the fellowship or the stewardship of the mystery is, he says, to make all see what the stewardship of the mystery is. What's his purpose? That's what he's trying to say. I want you to see what my purpose is. That's what he's saying. I want you to see what my stewardship of this gift of grace is. It's me being humble enough in a position where I could be prideful, but yet God has brought me to a place where I'm not, so that I can give to you what he has given to me. You know, people that's prideful have a hard time receiving? Hard time to receive. It's easier to give. See, I don't want to receive nothing. Let me do verse 9 again. To make all see what the fellowship or the stewardship of the mystery is, which from the beginning of the age has been hid where? You know why no one could figure it out? Because it was in God and they weren't there. See? Who created all, the word things shouldn't even be there. He created all, not by, but through Jesus Christ. He created all through Jesus Christ. See, there's a mystery that's been hid, that it was created through Jesus. Jesus Christ, the first fruit. To the intent, or in order that, now to the principalities and powers, it was all done that so now to the principalities and powers in where? In heaven, not heavenly places, but in heaven, Uranus, the sky is what the word is, in the heaven, okay? All these principalities and powers in the spirit realm, you might say, right? In heaven, be known through the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the diverse or much variegated wisdom of God. So he's saying all this is going on to the intent or in order that now the principalities powers in heaven would be known through the church, the called out people, not the church organization, but the called out people, the ecclesia, which is the diverse or much variegated wisdom of God. God has a lot of wisdom that people don't understand. Does that make sense? He said his mind is above our minds, his ways above our ways. Correct? So there's a wisdom that they don't understand. And that's about everything about God. Most of the church realm don't understand anything about God. They know there is a God. And that's all they really know about him. See, I don't have to have someone tell me about my Father. You know why? I know my Father, and I have a relationship with my Father. That's why you don't have to tell me about my Father. I know my Father is not trying to get revenge upon anyone. I know my Father is not mad at anyone, especially me. He's not mad at me. No matter what I do, he's not going to hate me because he's my Father. He is the essence of grace and mercy. Okay? So I don't have to worry about that. But when someone doesn't know who their Father is, they don't know their Heavenly Father, they can think him to be like a worldly father who would extract revenge and punishment upon them. Do you understand that? See, my natural father, he wouldn't pass him to draw blood on me. So he could extract it from me. But see, and he said he loved me, but yet my Heavenly Father says, that's not the way I do it. See, I love you. I won't take a belt and beat you into submission. I will love you into submission. And that even hurts worse. See? It hurts the natural man a lot worse when you're loved into submission. Okay? Verse 11. According to the age, eternal, the word is aeonian, ageless, the ageless purpose. Now, according to the ageless, I'm going to say another word because this is the Greek word for it. According to the aeonious prosthesis, what's that word mean? No. Remember we talked about the showbread? Oh. See, uh-oh. This word is prosthesis, the same one rendered showbread. Okay? So according to the ageless showbread, which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus was the first fruit. The showbread was something to be shown to the rest of the world. Do you see that? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. There's a showing of Christ, the showbread. What's that? Well, not necessarily. It was made from the beginning, yes. In that first verse in Genesis where it says, in the beginning, in the first fruit. Absolutely, that ties right to this. This is what he made, the aeonious purpose that he made, the aeonious showbread, was what was created in Genesis chapter 1. From the very beginning, that's his purpose, which he made in Christ Jesus. See, his purpose was finished and completed in Christ in those first three verses of Genesis, and I'm not going to go teach that this morning. That's on other tapes. Somebody can get it somewhere else. I mean, on another tape. Verse 12, in whom we have what? Now, this word boldness here, most people don't understand. What most people think is boldness, someone is kind of arrogant. Okay? But the word boldness here says a freedom in speaking without figures. A freedom of speaking plainly. I've been accused of that. I don't hold anything back. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say, and that's just the end of it. I'm not going to argue with nobody, but I'm going to say what God has shown me. Without figures and speech, I'll show you the truth. That's a word that most people don't understand. Something God showed me here recently. A prophet. What would be your definition of a prophet? Well, that's inspired speaker, inspired by the Spirit of God. But you know there's another meaning for that word? An interpreter. You know what a prophet does? He interprets what God said. See, by inspiration of the Spirit, God gives him wisdom to understand what he's saying. See, by inspiration and revelation, he shows them how to teach as a prophet. See, people don't understand these languages. They don't understand what God's saying. They're trying to interpret a word that was written thousands of years ago that needed interpretation, and they're trying to interpret it with their carnal 20th and 21st century understanding. And excuse me, it can't be done. God spoke in parables to the multitudes, didn't he? And usually the church is part of the multitude. So they don't understand because they've never humbled themselves in the presence of God. They come to God and tell him how humble they are. That's all they do. Okay, enough of that. In whom we have freedom in speaking without figures and access in confidence through the faith of what? Of Christ, of him in Christ. So by the faith in Christ, we have a confidence, right? We have access in confidence by him. Now, confidence. This is the word that everybody thinks when you are confident in the Spirit of God and what you're doing. Everybody says, well, that one's arrogant. Who's he think he is? I know how to spell ecclesia. I'm called out. Called out of what? Called out of the world into a whorehouse? That's what they're called out into. They don't understand anything. And I'm saying that in a mocking way because that's the way the church world believes. People who have no understanding have no qualifications to disagree with you when you're teaching the truth. They're only teaching from their carnality. That is no bearing, has no bearing on the fact of what God said. What I think has no bearing on what God says. The only thing that has a bearing on what God said is what the Spirit interprets it to say. Does that make sense? It's not about what I think, it's what God said. Verse 13, wherefore I ask that you faint not at my what? Tribulation, distress, or pressures. The Greek word philipsis. Okay? And for my tribulations for you, my distress or pressure are for you, which is your glory. He said, I'm doing it for your glory. I'm dying for your glory. Didn't Jesus die for our glory? Just a pattern. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, we get this picture in our head. Paul says, I'm going to bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, see, Paul was part of that, Lord Jesus Christ. He was part of the fullness of God. He was part of that first fruit. And we have to realize that Jesus said he was our older brother. See, we're part of him. See, how can I worship myself? See, and that's what people do. They worship humanity. But see, I'm not worshiping humanity. I'm worshiping the Spirit of God no matter where it's at. Every day. Every day. Okay? Verse 15. From out of the whole family, see, so I'm, verse 14 and 15 go together. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from out of whom the whole family, or all of the family, in heaven and earth is named. Did you hear that? He said, every part of the family, whether it be in heaven or in earth, whether in the spirit realm or in the earthly realm, they are all what? They're all named after the same family. Okay? They're named after who? Their father. See? They're named from their father. And the word name is that same word, the root word anoma, which means the nature and the character. So every one of us have that nature and character, whether it's come out yet or not. It's a seed planted and it'll come in God's time. It'll come to fruition. Okay? Now, oh, here's a good one now. I love this next verse. In order that he would, what? Give to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit. Where? Well, this ought to knock the water plumb out of the Pentecostal church. See, they're trying to strengthen the outward man. He tells you this is all about strengthening the inner man, the Christ man. In the Passover and Pentecostal realms, they don't strengthen the inner man. They strengthen the outer man, the flesh man. It's not about this. Why'd Paul say he didn't care about his life? His life was not important because he knew it was about the inner man. And he knew this outer man was coming closer to death every day. And I don't think Paul thought he was going to die a death of old age. I think he already knew how he was going to go. It's going to be a violent death. He knew. God has ways of letting you know things. Mm-hmm. He knew what he was going to get. But being strengthened in the inner man, there's the key. We've got to take all this external garbage that the world and the church has preached at us and pitch it aside, because that's all it is. It's dung. Just like Paul said, he counted all things dung. And don't you think part of the all things that he was counting dung was his religious heritage? I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees, huh? Part of the Sanhedrin. Oh man, I'm up there. He said, it's all garbage. Yeah. It was not a spiritual thing, it was a natural thing. And I hear people all the time talking about all these natural things they're doing. Churches are going out and building houses for people, and there's people that I know of, they wouldn't take time to read the Bible at all. But they'll get up and they'll go out west and build things for Indians, or go to Mexico and rebuild disaster victims there. They'll go to hurricane places and they'll work themselves to the bone. But they won't take the time to sit down with God for just a few moments and read His Word. There's a commercial I see on TV, and it's condemnation and guilt. It's an old man standing there, and it comes from the Mormon church. It says, this old man standing there, how many reasons are you going to have that God will accept that in 72 years you never had time to read His book? So just call us, we'll give you a free one. Of course, with it, they'll give you all their garbage too. See? They're trying to sway you into their church. That's not cool, but that's what they're doing, like all the rest of them. Okay? Verse 17, that Christ, and now here's the thing, see, that you be strengthened in your inner man. There's the key. And if you're strengthening your inner man, look what happens. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. See that? If I'm not strengthened in my inner man, how am I going to have Christ living in me? I can't do it without that. See? If I'm not strengthened in my inner man through faith, how is Christ going to be in there? He's not going to be living in there. See? He'll still be in hibernation somewhere. Yeah. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted, or literally stable, is what it should say, being stable and established in love. Not rooted and grounded, but stable and established in love. There's the key. Hey, hello. See? How can you tell if someone's stable and established in love? They don't have any pain. They don't have any fear. They don't have anything. They just go on and do what they got to do. They're not coerced into something. They do it because it's the love of their heart. Not being mad, not doing anything like that. Verse 18. Being entirely competent to possess with all the saints. See, when we're there, we are entirely competent to possess with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. See, we can understand the completeness of all things. No. From the love of God. Whether it be height or depth or anything else. See, nothing can separate us. But once we get in this love, we are entirely competent to possess with all the saints. And I'm talking, what he's talking here is not the ones that don't know they're saints yet, but to the ones that have already walked into the fullness. We have the ability to have everything that they have. And the last verse of Hebrews 11 says what? They can't be made perfect without us. See? And we can step in, and when we step in our place, what are we lacking? Because we're entirely competent to possess everything that they have with them. Everything of the inheritance is ours. Everything our Father possesses is ours when we step into that place of maturity. Because God has permitted it. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ which passes what? Surpasses all understanding, passes all knowledge. See, God's love is greater than all the knowledge of the world. I don't care how powerful knowledge is of the world. God's love surpasses all that. Okay? It's all intellectual love. If you're good to me, I'll like you back. In order that you be what? Literally, you be crammed, that you be filled or crammed full with to all the fullness of God. So that you be crammed full of all the fullness. So you get everything that he's got from the very bottom to the very top. He wants you crammed full with so much that you can do only what Jesus did, is continue to give it away. You got so much you can't do nothing but just give it away. That's what he wants you to walk into, that kind of fullness of his love. He's not talking about going out and hoarding up money so you can give it away. He's talking about the love of God. Verse 20. Now to him that is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that, what? Is active in us. He said, now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think, ask or think, according to the power that is active in us. What power is that? It's the Christ in us. It's the Spirit of God within us. That Spirit is active. And to the potential of that Spirit, wherever, however active it is how much we can get done in us. Does that make sense? It has to be active in us to the very point where we can get it all. If you're crammed full, it'll come out, I guarantee you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Verse 21. To him be glory in the church. To him be glory where? In the ecclesia. In Christ Jesus. See, in the ecclesia, in Christ Jesus, into all what? Ages or generations. The word says ages, it should be generations. Into all generations, age, the age of ages. Amen. Let me read that again, verse 21. To him be glory in the ecclesia, the church, in Christ Jesus, into all generations, even the age of ages. No. Ecclesia is the called, but that is the permitted ones, yes. Mm-hmm. See, everybody thinks because they go to church, they are ecclesia. No. Usually the church people are in the church because grandma wanted you there, mom wanted you there, dad wanted you there. They were giving candy out when you come. Condemnation was put on you, fire from hell was put on you, or something. The only reason you come to God is for this very reason right here, that you experience His love. And you're permitted to do that by the Spirit of God. That's all God is love. And if they can't see that, then they're not permitted. They're not ecclesia. They're not called. See? They have another purpose in this life. And it's not to be the first fruit.